Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
The reading from the book of Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offering and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do something for us for whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which you will be baptized. Sit at my right left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." They began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as your rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not into the world to serve, be served, but to serve." And Gospel of the
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this week I was walking near my house, and there were two little boys that decided to have a race. You remember being a kid, how you'd say, "On your mark, get set, go," right? Well, they were running towards me, and their little legs were going as fast as they possibly could, and they were neck and neck. They passed right by me, and then I heard this fight erupt. "I was first. No, I was first. I'm sure that I got there before you. No, it was me." I turned around and thought about getting involved, but decided against it. What is it about being a kid that it just seems at some point we start wanting to win? I remember trying to climb a really high fence with my friend Jamie. We were neck and neck getting up to the top of the fence, and then she got ahead of me as we got over the top, and I noticed she was going to win, and it just drove me crazy. So I jumped. My Lord, I think back on that and wonder how I didn't break a bone. I guess I was made out of rubber back then. It seems to be part of human nature to want to be the best, to want to be first, to want to win. I mean, isn't half the city going to watch football? But is it really part of our true nature or not? Today's gospel is about James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Don't you love that name, Zebedee? JD wanted to name one of our boys Zebedee, but I said, no way. It would be fine if one of them turned out to be a big football player. You could hold that name if you were big, but if we had a little nerdly kid, Zebedee would overwhelm them. James and John, Jesus also called them the sons of thunder. They were competitive men. I imagined them kind of looking like football players. I've always imagined that. I don't know why. We know that they were kind of aggressive and they wanted to protect Jesus, because in the Gospel of Luke, there's a story about the disciples with Jesus. They're traveling through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem. By the way, Samaritans didn't like Jerusalem. So once the Samaritans found out where they were going, no one wanted to host them. In particular, they went to the door of a family and asked if just Jesus could sleep for the night there because he was so tired, and the family said no. Bad decision. But James and John turned to Jesus and said, how about we rain down thunder and lightning and fire on that family? And Jesus says, no. That's not necessary, guys. Whoa. Sons of thunder. But they also were very close to Jesus, James and John. You know, on the mountain of the Transfiguration, the three people that Jesus took with him were Peter and James and John. And don't forget, this is our John, John the Evangelist, the one that we as a cathedral are named after. So if you're telling your friends what church you go to, you can say, we go to Church of the Sons of Thunder. We go to the football player aggressive guy church. That'll get them curious. So James and John were being brothers, being aggressive and competitive with each other as brothers can do, as all of us can do. And they decided that they wanted to ask Jesus if they could have the top spot. Today, when you go to a formal dinner, there'll be place cards, you know, with your name on it, telling you where you sit. Back then, they didn't do that, but they still had important seating arrangements. If you went into a home and you were an important guest, you would be seated either on the right hand or the left hand of the host. So that's what James and John ask. But they're tricky. They're so much like kids. They say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, while they're walking along, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Luckily, Jesus is pretty wise. He doesn't say, okay. He says, what are you asking of me? And they say, we want the spots. We want to be on your right hand and on your left. The top disciples. And Jesus says, you don't understand what you're asking. Do you really want to follow me? Because it's not my nature to fight for first. It's not Christ's nature to win. And it's not your true nature either. I have a tree in my front yard. It's a little live oak tree. Behind it, there's a large water oak that's supposed to fall down in the next few years, hopefully not on my house. The water oak has a lot of Spanish moss, which when the storms come, it blows onto this little live oak, covering it and hurting it. So yesterday I got a ladder and I started pulling off all this Spanish moss so that I could see the tree and its leaves, so that its leaves could reach out and absorb the sunlight and receive the rain. I don't think you realize this, but every single day, almost every hour, you are bombarded by Spanish moss. You are bombarded by messages that cover you, that tell you that your life should be about yourself, that you should try to win and do for yourself, that if you buy this product or eat this thing or go on this vacation, then you'll find the answer. Then you'll be happy. And every day, over and over again, you're blanketed with messages about me, me, me. Put yourself first. Make yourself happy. Do for yourself. Feed yourself. Think about yourself. It's all about the me. And we get so covered with these messages that we begin to believe that the purpose of our lives is to make ourselves happy, is to win first place. And then we start spinning our wheels, searching for that thing that's going to feed us finally, make us happy. Meanwhile, we've covered over our true natures. Do you remember the great commandment that Jesus gave us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. According to that order, we're supposed to love ourselves, but we're not number one, are we? We're number three. And so long as me is number one, you're always going to be weighed down by the Spanish moss and unable to discover who you truly are. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, because that is our true Christ-like nature. He asks us to follow him, to serve other people. During World War II, there were very few courageous people who decided that they were willing to house Jews in their homes at the risk of their very lives. And there was a recent study that tried to determine what was it about these particular Germans that enabled them to have the kind of courage to give up their safety in order to help someone else. How did they do that? Did they have religion in common? Did they have ethnicity in common? Were they all the same gender? Were they in the same age bracket? What was it about these people that gave them the ability to do something so selfless and courageous? Do you know what the common denominator was among all these people that did that extraordinary act of mercy? It wasn't age. It wasn't ethnicity. It wasn't even religion. The only thing that these people held in common was that someone had actually looked them in the eye and asked them. Human being to human being, will you take this person into your home? And once they were looked at face to face and asked that question, most of them said yes. You all have been in a car line, right, where you're trying to get in and there's this long line of cars and you just need to get in order to go where you need to go, but nobody will look at you and nobody will let you in. You all have been there, right? But maybe you've realized what I've realized, which is that if I roll down my window and wave and look at someone, look them in the eye, they hardly ever refuse. Because it calls upon their higher nature. Human being to human being, we are called to serve each other. That is how God created you. That is what fulfills you. More than receiving a gift, it is giving. Scientists have even proven this, that you get some endorphins when you get a present, but you get more endorphins when you give. God has made you to serve others. And so long as me is number one, you're never going to find out who you truly are. So I want you to do something for me this morning. Because we're in the middle of our season of breaking down fear, I'm going to do something very different with you, okay? I want you to find someone that you do not know. And I want you to think for a moment that maybe you didn't just come to church for yourself, but you came to church for someone else. And I want you to find this person and ask them what you can pray for them this week. And you tell them what they can pray for you, and try to be honest about something that means something to you. If you're a person who is not so able-bodied, just stay where you are and let someone find you. If you're able to get up and move, I give you 5 minutes. Find someone that you do not know, or at least don't know well, and partner up with them and look them in the face and ask what you can pray for them. Okay? We're being fearless, right? I know you're getting up out of your pews. It's shocking. You can do it. Come on, let's get up and move. Thank you. Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the world to come and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we live in a frightening world. You promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear us now as we pray to you. For the peace of the whole world, that nations and peoples may come to understand and respect one another. We pray especially for an end to the violence in the Middle East and on the streets of our own cities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the poor, the sick, the lonely, and those who are grieving, that they may find comfort and solace in your presence. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this community, that we may boldly serve you without fear, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the city of Jacksonville, that your Holy Spirit may inspire us to revitalize the urban core, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the earth, that we may use its fruits to your glory and for the good of all creation, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who have died, that they may see you face to face, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the courage to face our own limitations, faults, and failings, and for the gift of your grace, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, and revealing to us your true nature, and teaching us our true nature, in that we are as we were meant to be when we give to each other, seeing the humanity of all. So accept these prayers, and we will rest, knowing that your grace knows no bounds. We ask this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you raise your hand, if you're new, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you got to keep your hand up until they find you. We're so glad you're here today. We have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're with us. I hear the weather this afternoon is supposed to be windy. Did anybody get my joke? At 5 o'clock this afternoon, the First Coast Wind Symphony will have their fall concert here. It's free, and it is going to be something. They're going to blow off the roof, I think. We're talking about trumpets and trombones and French horns and flutes and all of that, along with Tim Toller accompanying. So you, if you're free, come on. And there's a reception afterwards in Tolliver Hall. Should be beautiful. There are some new classes being offered here at the cathedral, especially on Wednesday evenings. See your bulletin for more details. And our final class on the book of Acts will be next week at the Dean's Forum. Following that will be a course on the history of the cathedral, which will be beautiful. I think we can take down some bricks on our wall of fear here. We're breaking down a wall of fear, and every time two families or single or people pledge, we can take off a brick. Thanks, guys. So I'm going to need some help, because today we need to take off 20. Whoa, there go three of them. Four. That's four. That's good, guys. Keep on going. Sometimes when you move around, your fear falls off, right? Okay, so don't put them back. Don't put them back. Come on, guys. Who can come and help me take down some bricks? Mike, grab those bricks that just fell off. There you go. Take two, at least. Pass them to David. Yeah, one, two, three, four. Come on, somebody else, come help me. Come on, Tom. I need some help. Whoa, these guys are hard to get off. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Thanks, kids. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, two more, 19, 20. Mike's got the last one. Yay, good job. Excellent. We're uncovering the faces of the people of God here. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Okay, keep them coming, guys. There are pledge cards in your pews. You can pledge online. They should have been sent to your house. Keep on coming. I want to tear down this whole wall. We're grateful for you. Oh, they'll come around in the plates. That's good, Bamal. That's my mother-in-law. Yeah. Oh, thank you, everybody. Good work. And now, before we close, we have a great thing that's going to happen. We're going to have a new verger made today. Patricia Young is going to be installed as a verger. Does anybody know where the vergers come from? In the Middle Ages, they used to process the bread and wine out into the streets, and people thought they were so holy, everybody wanted to touch them. It made sort of a mass chaos, and the vergers held a stick and they beat people off. Today, they don't beat anybody, hopefully, but they do help to organize and run our services, which are very complex. If it wasn't for the vergers, David and Carl and I would be running around like chickens with our heads cut off, making sure the acolytes were showing up and the reader knew what they were reading. It's the vergers that do all of that work. So please join me in installing a new verger. This is a big commitment, and we're very grateful. Vergers, can you come forward, please? And Patricia, you come and stand in front here with me. Does everybody hand out the little words there, we can say? This is good. Here's our new one, right here. I think it's appropriate for Charles, who is... How old are you now? You're going to tell us? 80?
81.
How long have you been a verger?
Since we started here.
Really?
Yeah.
How many years is that?
Jesus, I'm 20-some years.
Okay, so Charles has been a verger for over 20 years, so he's going to put it on her. All right. Since the early days of the church, laypersons have been commissioned to assist the clergy and laity in the conduct of divine liturgy. The position of verger developed in medieval England, where they served as the protector of the procession. They walked before clergy, deans, or bishops as they processed within the precincts of the church or cathedral. They carried a large mace or verge, often used to dissuade animals or unruly people from disrupting the procession. Today, the verger more typically assists the clergy in planning services and helps oversee the preparations for each service of the church. The candidate may now be presented.
Dean K, I present to you Patricia Young Jones, to be commissioned as the verger of this cathedral.
Has the person you present been prepared for her office by a commitment to Christ our Lord, by regular attendance at worship, and by the knowledge of her duties to the exercise of the office of verger and to the honor of God and the welfare of God's church.
We believe her so to be.
Patricia, you have been called to the ministry of verger of St. John's Cathedral. Will you, as long as you are engaged in this work, perform it with diligence?
I will.
Will you strive to maintain the dignity of this office and to be a witness of God's call to love and serve?
I will.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, bless the ministry of Patricia. Give her understanding and patience to persevere in the fulfillment of her duties, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and the service of others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of God and of this congregation, I commission you to serve as verger in this parish. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's put on her vestment. Give her her stick. There you go. Turn around. Let's give her a round of applause. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have taught us that whoever wishes to become great in the kingdom of heaven must become the servant of all. And in him you have given us an example of love and sacrifice, so that we may live according to your will and, by your grace, receive the reward of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he'd given thanks, he gave to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with James and John and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.